More Russians than ever sought asylum in the United States last year. Many asylum seekers are LGBTQ. They're fleeing trauma and oppression from Vladimir Putin's anti-gay laws.
But many end up in communities with other Russians and find they're facing the same prejudices from back home, even in liberal cities like New York. Eileen Grench reports from Brighton Beach.
Vladimir Avdatisyan was a successful opera singer back at home in Russia. This is him performing at a concert in a church in 2016. In 2013, Russian President Putin had passed a law against what he called non-traditional values, where something as simple as two men holding hands in public was against the law. Shortly thereafter, an acquaintance of Vladimir's was killed in the park by men who thought he was gay. Then the threat came close to home. Vladimir had just started dating someone. Suddenly, they stopped responding to his messages.
You know, sometimes you text into people, hey, how are you? Do you want to hang out? And they just didn't answer you. And you start to think, oh my God, probably I'm not good enough or something. You know, we all had that kind of experience. And I said, okay, probably he just doesn't want to hang out or something, or met someone, whatever. But after 6 months, police found his body.
Vladimir knew it was time to leave. A friend told him about the asylum process in the United States, and he quickly got a visa, bought a ticket, and left.
And I came here in 2016, in March 3rd. I went to the street. There's no language, no phone, no nothing.
He went from being a successful performer to being completely anonymous in a strange country. Because of Vladimir's travel in Europe, he could get a visa. But like many before him, he found challenges when he arrived, like money, food, housing.
And then there's the language barrier.
Dr. Alessi studies forced LGBTQ migration at Rutgers University.
And while other immigrant groups can rely on their communities, many times LGBTQ refugees cannot. Or they have to hide again to be members of that community.
Brighton Beach is the biggest Russian-speaking community in New York. Many Russian immigrants head there first. Lyosha Gorshkov is co-president of Rusa LGBT, a meetup group that connects Russian-speaking LGBTQ asylum seekers. He agrees that homophobia is a particular challenge there.
They use slurs, they use derogatory terms to call somebody F-word or call somebody CC, physical abuse or mistreatment in medical offices, in some kind of landlord spaces, a lot of stuff like that. It could be a very traumatic experience. And of course, instead of healing being in the United States, our guides again and again and again going through this resurrection of trauma.
In Russia, Lyosha was a professor of queer studies. After the 2013 law passed, he was trailed by secret police. Lyosha also began to get death threats. He made it to the U.S., but things were difficult.
When I got here for the month, I was completely alone. I didn't have anyone. And all of a sudden, I got to the Russian-speaking LGBT support group, and I started communicating with people.
Lyosha began organizing events, like the first ever Brighton Beach Pride Parade last year. He's trying to change the attitudes in Brighton Beach, and he's putting on another this year. On most days, senior Brighton Beachers sit gossiping on the benches of the boardwalk. That's right where the parade will be marching next week. There's a biting breeze today, but one gets the feeling that the babushkas would be wearing their oversized fur coats anyways. Lana, a Brighton Beach resident, sits with her father next to a group of older men playing chess. Her father is sitting bent over in a black sweatshirt and a baseball cap. Lana is dressed up, wearing bright pink lipstick, her hair curled and dyed red.
Это для Брайтона очень важно, а парад гомосексуалистов не интересен.
They're saying there's going to be a Veterans Day parade soon, and for them, they care about this Veterans Day parade about commemorating the day that the Russians defeated the fascists. They don't care about a parade for homosexual people.
Her father agrees.
Не надо этот парад.
Не надо парад.
He starts peppering the translator with questions and tries his best to communicate his disgust in English, while his daughter laughs beside him.
Я не люблю гомосексуалистов. I don't love. I don't like this.
But his isn't the only view here. Just across the boardwalk, 9-year-old Anna is playing next to her mother, Inga Gordon, in the sand.
I don't know much about upcoming parade, but I've seen it before. And I think anything is fun is not bad. I think if it's not hurting anybody, it's fun. You know, and it's music and people is really cool. And I've seen those costumes. I like it.
Inga turns to her daughter.
You know what that whole party is?
Yes.
G-A-Y. No.
No.
I
know,
what you say.
Yeah?
Yeah. I know what it is.
Yeah?
Yeah. It's when two boys come together.
Leosha says he hopes 1,000 people will attend the parade this year in Brighton Beach.
You have to persist every single way and every single person who comes here with their own stories on LGBTIQ surviving or LGBTIQ experience being in our countries. It's kind of, and everybody could be an ambassador, queer ambassador. Everybody can be an activist in their own way.
Leosha says that little by little, events like this will help create a space where LGBTQ immigrants can just be themselves. The second annual Brighton Beach Pride Parade will be held on May 20th at the Brighton Beach Boardwalk. Eileen Grench, Columbia Radio News.